Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
The topic is entitled, Don't Go to Church. What? Don't go to church? We are sitting in a building that we refer to as a church. We come and we celebrate the Lord together, and we do various things in this building. But I want to challenge our mindset that we don't go to church like we go to a restaurant, or that we go to a concert, or that we go to a lecture, or that we go to a class. I want to challenge our mindset in that. The church is much more and different than a building. Thank you. Bless you. Okay, next. The church is much more than the building. We refer to it that way, just in talking. But, next. When we do, we tend to adopt kind of a consumer model. We come and we consume content. We have the professional, where there's God, and then there's the pastors and the talkers, and then there's the congregation. And God goes through the pastors, God goes through the people teaching. The pastors create the content, they create programs, they do things for us to do all sorts of different things. How does the Bible use the word church? The Greek word is ecclesia. And basically, it means an assembly, a group of people. It can even be it doesn't have to be a religious group, but it typically in the Word of God it is, a congregation, a church. And when there's a "the" in front of it, the church, it is typically referring to the entire church, the universal church of believers. Church is just a group of people. Okay, and in that sense, a Sunday school class, bound together in the Lord, coming and meeting regularly in the name of Jesus Christ, is a church. This group of people is a church. It is a people, not a building. This group of people that we call the church has Jesus Christ as the head. We're called the body of Christ, to use an analogy, the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. Think about a head. You know, what does it do? It has ears, it has eyes, it looks, it perceives, it thinks, it controls. Everything goes through the head. It tells the hand what to do, it tells the foot what to do, it tells each part what to do. It's the controller. And because of that, I don't have this hand trying to go this way and this hand trying to go this way, and they're pulling me apart in the middle. Instead, they're working together. Colossians 1:18. He, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He's first. He's the preeminent one. Now, it gets really interesting when you talk about Jesus as the man, and Jesus and Christ the Son of God, and the Trinity, and how that all works out, because there is a wonderful relationship even within that. Next. Ephesians, he, this would be God the Father, put all things under his, that would be Jesus the Son, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So some people look at that and they say, okay, well, Jesus is the head. I accept that. But we still want to have this professional model. We still want to have that model. And so they'll say, okay, well, Jesus, he talks to the pastors, he talks to the elders, and they in turn will control and talk to the church. They have this authority structure over it. I challenge that model. I challenge that model, and I don't believe that that's what God wants for us. Jesus isn't just our head, he's also referred to as our high priest. Now remember the high priest of the Jewish people. He would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he would be connected. He would actually be in the very presence of God for the people once a year. He was that high priest. And the people couldn't get to God directly. They went through the high priest. Jesus is our high priest directly. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So yeah, we've got this fantastic Jesus being our high priest directly. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was full and is fully man. Fully man, fully God. Not partial, fully. It's a mystery. I don't understand how it all works, but it is absolutely true. Let us therefore, I love this one. Let us therefore, we have this high priest. Jesus loves us. He's fantastic. He's this connection that we have with the eternal, amazing, almighty God. Let's therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. When they came into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope on them so they could pull them out. They tied bells on them so they could hear it twinkle. And they could hear that the priest was moving around and doing things. And if that stopped, they knew that the priest had had sin and that wasn't properly sacrificed for, and they would pull him out. But let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we have Jesus as our direct high priest, we are able to come directly into his presence and into God's presence. And we're welcomed there. God knows our sin. He knows our failings. But he sees us through Jesus. And so he sees, that's taken care of. When we've received Jesus, when we have him, that's taken care of. Next. Jesus is also the only mediator. When you put a person in that role, it's messing up. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator, it's a person in the middle between two people whose job is to reconcile or make peace with them. They mediate between the two people. And that's Jesus reconciling us to God. Now, if we put a human in that role, we're messing up. Because God loves you. Can't say this strongly enough. It's a simple word, isn't it? God loves you. He adores you. You are his poem. You are his workmanship. You are his creation. And he loved you. He made you. And he bought you with a precious price. And he loves you. He wants to be in direct relationship with you, not through someone else. He wants to be directly in relationship with you. Remember Moses? Take your shoes off, Mo. You're on holy ground. You know, get rid of that other stuff. Come and interface directly with me. You're on holy ground. Don't be afraid of the holiness. Touch it. Be there. Live in it. And God loves us, and he wants that one-to-one relationship. So I would propose that a more biblical model is that we have Jesus Christ, and each of us as believers, he talks to us directly. It doesn't have to go through a professional pastor or somebody else. He talks to each of us directly. Now, there is value in sharing between us, because each of us have, you could call it a piece of Jesus. Each of us have Jesus in our heart. We experience him in different ways. We have the coloration of our life experiences and our perceptions and our biases and our good stuff. And so each of us experience that, and we have different talents, different gifts. And so by interacting with each other, we get a fuller picture of the full Jesus. But Jesus wants to go directly to us. We are the church, not the building, the people. We are the church. The church is us, this group of believers gathered together. When we say go to church, you know, we're referring to the building. And I thought that was a grabby phrase that could get your attention. But what I meant is don't go to church like going to an event, but instead gather as the church. Don't just go to church, but gather as the church, where each one of us has something to give. Each one of us has something to receive. God in each wants to work through each one of us, and not just somebody up front, not just a teaching, but God longs that each of us will be there and experiencing and doing what he wants. Christ is the head, and we are the body. 1 Corinthians 12 goes into that a little bit. The Corinthian church was a bit messed up, and they were all concerned about gifts and what was going on and how to do things. And they were thinking that some people were bigger and better than others. Some people were more important than others. And Paul was coming along saying, hold on, I don't think you should see it that way. And so beginning at verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So all of us together making up one body. It's a good analogy. It really is. And Paul runs with the analogy a little bit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Remember the society that Paul was writing to. These were the biggest breakups in society. These were the biggest divisions in society. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. These were the huge divisions in the society. And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter. Every one of us, without fail, without divisions. And all have been made into drink to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the foot says it, it doesn't make it true. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, who would hear? If the whole body were here, who would smell? Who would do the smelling? Each of us has a unique role. My role is belly button lint. I'm the belly button lint of the body of Christ. Somebody had to do it. Each one of us has a unique role. Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Our place in the church, and not this building, but in the group of people, we're in this group for very specific reasons. God has brought us together, each of us, for very specific, particular reasons. And in that, he wants us each to fulfill that reason. He wants each of us to be doing the right thing. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. One thing that happens is when we're talking with other people, God has given them different gifts, talents, perspectives, understanding. They're at a different point in their walk with Christ. We're all coming together. But because of that, we can have different ideas. We can have different priorities. We can have different opinions about what should be done here or there with this or that. And that's okay. I want my foot to be concentrating on walking. I want my hand to be able to concentrate on writing. I don't want my foot to be thinking so much about writing. It's okay that we have different priorities, different understandings, and different perceptions, because put together, that makes the body of Christ. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. Talk to somebody who's lost a thumb. It's amazing how much that one little finger, sort of, that the thumb does. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. You may think of yourself as the belly button lint, but it's okay. It's your role. And then other people have different roles. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Ever have a hangnail? Ever have a problem with a toenail? Your whole body is focused on that pain and you're dealing with it. If one member suffers, the whole body is affected. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So we have that picture, and I hope you have it clearly. The body of Christ is us. Jesus is the head directing every member of the body. And by following him directly, everything works out better. We don't go to church to be entertained, or even go to church to be fed. Rather, we gather as the body of Christ. We gather as the body of Christ in order to function as his church. He has a particular goal and task for us as his church. And to minister to each other using a wide variety of unique gifts. Again, we gather as the body to function as the church, to minister to each other using a wide variety of gifts. Now, there's lots of things that God wants to do with his church. He wants to reach out to the nations. He wants to reach out to our neighbors, to the people right next to us. He wants to help and heal and encourage each one of us back and forth individually. There's lots that God wants to do and longs to do in us as we allow him. But what is the role of the church? Basically, the role of the church is to be Jesus in this fallen world. We are the expression of God. Jesus in us wants to express himself through to the world. We are the expression of God to this fallen world. We're the expression of God to each other. We are the salt and light. The world is hurting and needs us. We are the thing that makes it flavorful, that preserves, that lights the way. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents a country. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So Paul was saying, hey, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I represent Christ and I implore you on his behalf to be reconciled. And that's the position we're in, where God wants to work through each one of us for the benefit of all of us. Why do we gather? Okay, I said don't go to church. Obviously, I'm not saying don't come to Sunday and don't get together. But why do we do that? One reason is to express Jesus more completely. Remember, I talked about that. We each have a different perception. We each have a different understanding. Each of us are in different places where we've, in terms of learning the word and knowing what's going on. And combining those give us a much richer picture. In one accord, we've gone to a model of discussion, much more than teaching. And we love it because it works really well. And so I love hearing all these different voices and opinions and thoughts and different people going through things. And it's a wonderful way to see more of Jesus. Jesus promised a special expression of his presence. When two or more gathered, there I am in their midst. He wants us to gather together, and he's made it a special thing. He said, look, when you guys get together, then it's special, and I'm going to be there in a different way, in a special way. Remember, in the Old Testament, there was a rule. It took two or three witnesses to confirm something in a court of law. It took two or three to make sure that thing was really true. And it's much harder to be deceived. It's much harder to be wrong when you've got a group of godly people around you seeking the Word, seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking God, and they're around you and you're talking with each other. There's a self-correcting nature of that beast, that where the more of us together, we help correct each other and understand truth in a fuller way. The other thing is when we gather, we're able to spend time together. We have relationships with each other. I absolutely love the coffee time before Sunday school and then the other one between services, or the Friday morning coffee house. Awesome times just to have relationships. And we're called to live in that community. We're called to live in community with each other. We're called to live together with each other, to share in worship. Not just singing, but in real worship. Really expressing yourself before God and saying, Lord, I have this relationship with you. And in response to this relationship, out comes worship. Out comes an expression of, Lord, you're worth. You're worth so much, and you're amazing, and thank you. And it just comes flowing out when you have that relationship. And then when we do it together, there's a wonderful thing that happens. It's a synergy and a thing that happens. It's just, I love it. And we gather to minister to each other with relationships. We gather to pray and agree in prayer. If two or more agree on something touching it, it will be done. Now, you know, as we pray together, it has power. As we meet together and pray together, it has a special power. Don't get me wrong, God hears all of our prayers. But he's promised that when we get together and pray, that it's special and powerful. Crucially important, each and every person in the body, in the church, is important. Really important. If a single piece is missing, the whole body is affected. If I don't have a foot, it affects how I walk. If I don't have a big toe, it affects how I walk. If a piece is hurting or missing, it affects in a big way how I walk and what I do, even if it's just something simple. If I lose my eyelashes because they're burned off, it affects how people might look at me, you know, and so maybe I have to draw them in for a while. These days I have to trim them off. This gathering, this is the time and place for us to be real with each other, for us to share and be real. It's not a time and a place for a plastic Jesus smile, but rather it's a time to be able to be honest with each other. And there are times when I've gone to One Accord and I said, guys, I'm hurting today. They saw me go through a black period after I lost a job. And they came alongside, and they were praying for me and ministering to me, and it was wonderful. You know, but I could only do that because I was honest in admitting, hey, I lost my job and I'm hurting. It's a time for us to ask and answer each other with the hard questions. I tell the kids, God's not afraid of any question. Truth stands up to any level of inquiry. I don't care if it's a question about science. I don't care if it's a question about, you know, doctrine. I don't care if it's a question about anything. God can stand a question. It's okay. And for us to ask the hard questions to each other, sometimes the hardest question is a why. Why did this happen? And sometimes our answer is, I don't know. But I'm here for you. And I come alongside you. And I don't leave you alone grappling with that why. I don't leave you alone trying to understand something that maybe we won't understand until we get to heaven. Why did that person have to die? Why does this person have cancer? A lot of times it's, I don't know. We're a fallen world, and it's lousy. And then years later, you may see reasons for some of the things that you've gone through. When I went through my black period, I saw things, and God used that in my heart in ways that he hadn't used before, couldn't do before. And it was awesome. But boy, it wasn't fun. But now I look back and I say, yeah, it was good that that happened. Sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes we're different than each other. And that's important for us to give room for people to be different than you. You know, I mean, there are areas of doctrine, for example. Okay, where we might differ on our understanding. We may differ in how we believe, you know, the end time events are going to work out. If you want to know how it's really true, just ask me, I'll tell you. But for those people, you know, there are other people that don't believe exactly the same as I do, and it's okay. There is room for differences between us. Paul even said that was good so that those who are approved could be shown. It's okay that we're in different points in our walk. God may convict you about something in your life. He may cause you to want to fix or to do something in your life. But that doesn't mean that he has the exact same message for your friend. And be careful and give them space to be able to work it out, their walk with God as well as your walk with God. Sometimes God takes us through things so that we can minister to our friend who's going through something similar. But sometimes we just need to give them a little space and the ability to have a difference in perception, the ability to have a difference. Community, family, is messy. Because it's made up of a bunch of flawed people. If you're perfect, find a different church. This is a church of flawed people, every single one of us. And that's okay. But it does make community messy. It does mean that we don't get everything right. It does mean that sometimes we have to go through things and work through things in love. If you leave a church because the people are flawed in that church, and this happens all the time, you know, you leave the church because of some flaw in the people. Sometimes, guys, you know, God calls you to move somewhere else, but sometimes it's just an expression of consumerism. It's an expression of, I want to go someplace where I get better fed, or I do this, or I that, or I the other thing. We're called to be the body of Christ ministering to each other. You guys are here to minister to each other. Our differences are our strength. If we were all a foot, we could walk, but we couldn't write. If we were all an ear, we could hear, but we couldn't see. You know, if we're all the same, then we're not as strong. But the differences are our strength. We have different perceptions. There's an old story about a bunch of blind guys that came upon an elephant. And one guy went to the back of the elephant and he felt his tail. And he says, oh, an elephant is like a snake. Another guy went up to the front and he felt the trunk. And the thing, he says, no, an elephant is like a vacuum cleaner. Another guy went up to a leg, put an arm around it. Whoa, an elephant's like a tree trunk. Another guy came up to the side of the elephant. Oh, an elephant's like a building, like a big brick building. Another guy came up to the ear. He says, no, guys, the elephant is like a big, thin piece of fabric. And they were all right. They were all had valid perceptions. All had valid perceptions, but they had a piece of the picture. And by combining the pieces, the full picture of an elephant could be described. So our differences in perceptions is a strength and a good thing. When someone sees something different than you, that can be a really good thing. And then you talk and you find it out. And you're honest with each other. And you're real with each other. We have different talents and gifts. God gives us gifts specifically so that we can use them to minister to the world and to each other. There's various lists of gifts, and I don't think any of them are exhaustive. God gives all sorts of different gifts and talents and abilities to us, and each of those is important, and God wants to use them. Now, he may not use them right now. He may use, let's say you have gift A, B, and C. He may use B for a while, then he uses A for a while. Then you go someplace else and he uses C. He mixes it up. And what I found going through life, for me at least, is that God is bringing me along things, and I'm in a place now where I'm using all these things that I've learned from experiences throughout my life up till now. That I can see reason for me going through this and this and this and this because it gets expressed now today in a good way because I've learned and I've grown through that. So we have different gifts and talents. We have different priorities. I mentioned that, you know, because each of us is appropriately focusing on that which is God, what God wants us to do. And give people the space to have that. If we say, oh, everybody should be focused on, you know, my gift, we're cutting ourselves off from the full expression of Jesus. So finally, I just want to encourage you, live intentionally. What I mean that by that is recognize what you believe and choose to live in a manner that is consistent with that belief. Choose to live in a way that expresses that belief. Don't separate out Sunday morning from Monday morning. It's all the same. God is the same wonderful, amazing God Monday morning that he is here on Sunday morning. And that separation of our lives into, okay, now I'm going to go to church and I'm going to do that religious thing. Now I'm going to go out and live my life. Doesn't work, guys. That just doesn't work. So live intentionally. Gather as the body of Christ for all the great reasons. Regularly. Scripture says, you know, don't skip that. Don't mess around with that. But gather, and all the more, so that, because we can't encourage each other if we're not all here. Come expecting to encounter Jesus in others. Expecting. Expect that you're going to come into a presence of other believers with important things that God wants to say to you. Expect that you are coming there and you're going to see a piece of Jesus in each other. Come expecting to share Jesus in you with them. You ever had that, guys? You know, where you're talking with somebody and they say something that you go, wow, that was exactly what I needed to hear. That's Jesus working through us. That's Jesus working through us and loving each other. Jesus loving us through each other. And so come expecting for that to happen. Expecting for that to be a part of what's going to happen. That you're going to be, God's going to use you in wonderful ways. And God's going to use other people in your life in wonderful ways. But you can't do that if you're not real and open. So be honest with each other. Be honest about the hurts and the rejoicing. It's not just the hurts. We have times of rejoicing in wonderful things too. Or just that, well, same song, next verse. Gotta get through stuff. Seek. Try to understand. Ask the Lord to reveal. What are your gifts and talents? What are the things that you do well? How should those be expressed in the body of Christ? Look around. Do you see any needs or opportunities? Is there something that maybe needs to be done? Don't ask Phil. Go do it. Go do it. Feel free in that sense. Work with each other. Keep everybody in the loop, because sometimes we don't know about what, you know, everybody's doing, but you know. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, oh, verily, yeah, you can go talk to your neighbor. You know. Go do it. If you see something, a need, pray about it and do it. Ask Jesus to help you. Ask Jesus to show you. Where does he want you to do things? What does he want you to do? How does he want to express himself through you? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. You are amazing and wonderful. Thank you that you've chosen these broken clay pots to express your love through. Lord, help us be a full expression of that love by combining it, by being with each other, living as a family and in community. Ah, dear Lord, help each of us to fulfill that specific, particular role that you have for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.